Jesus said his prayer. Again this morning, and again my great pleasure to welcome you with God's greeting. He greets us this morning with these words: May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. So I'll be reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. If you'd like to read along in your pew Bible, that's on page 1040. Before I start reading, I'm just going to have a quick prayer of illumination. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, your word is open before us. May it truly be a lamp to light our way. Open our minds and our hearts to your leading, in this moment and forevermore. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 19, starting on verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they kept quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The stones would cry out, says Jesus in our passage this morning. If we kept silent, the stones would cry out. The earth, it seems, praises God. The stones. We have imagery of the earth praising God throughout our Bible, including in Psalm 148. It says, "Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the sky." A few years ago, when I preached on that psalm, I asked the kids who didn't have Sunday school that day to draw pictures of it for me. So I gave them all paper and pencil crayons and asked them to imagine what it would look like for the earth to praise God. Some of the adults got in there too, and by the end of the service, I had a large stack of beautiful landscapes that everyone had sketched during the service. But one of the pictures was my favorite. You're not supposed to have favorites, but I'll tell you why and you'll understand. I was a little boy, was visiting his grandparents. His grandparents were members of my church. And he thought this was a magnificent activity and spent hours. He wouldn't give me his paper back. He threw the coffee hour, was finishing up his picture. He finally gave it to me. And everything in his beautiful landscape had arms. It was amazing. The sun had arms. The hills had arms. The clouds had arms. What does it mean for the sun, moon, and shining stars to praise God? Well, that little boy definitely thought it had something to do with arms. It was amazing. I think maybe he knew about Isaiah 55. In that passage, it says, "The mountains and the hills will sing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands." I'm not exactly sure how trees of the field clap their hands, but maybe they have arms. Throughout the Bible, there is beautiful imagery of the earth praising God. What does that look like? And what does it mean? How do you imagine it? And just how exactly do the stones cry out? This is a story we know well. Jesus on a donkey riding into Jerusalem, the crowds waving palm branches and laying down their coats, the crowds worshiping God and shouting Hosanna. It's a story in all four of our Gospels, which always gives us cause for pause and reflection. All four Gospel writers knew that something important was happening here and that it must be recorded. And all four Gospel writers don't actually capture the same moments very often, so we know that something about this is fundamental. But Luke, in the passage we read today, doesn't actually have any palm branches. Did you catch that in the reading? And there are no children either, or even crowds. In Luke, only the disciples are present. And Luke never has anyone say Hosanna, which means save us. Matthew and Mark and John all mention the Son of David and the King of Israel, but again, Luke does not do that. But only in Luke is this line, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And that line puts us right back to the angels announcing Jesus' birth to the shepherds. Words from Jesus' birth follow him through his whole life and are now with him as he walks towards Jerusalem and his own death. And only in Luke do we hear of the Pharisees' rebuke. The Pharisees ask Jesus to make the disciples stop. And in response, Jesus says that if the disciples were to stop praising God, stop shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven and glory to God in the highest. If the disciples didn't say these things, if they were silent, then the stones would cry out. So what exactly would the stones say? Perhaps they would tell the story of a boy named David who picked up three tiny little stones from a dry riverbed. David, small, unassuming, and young, who slayed a giant. David, who is the first person in the Bible to call God the living God. David, who changed the course of Israel's history. Or perhaps the stones would tell the story of the prophet Elijah, who used 12 stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord, and then covered it in water. And before Ahab and the prophets of Baal prayed that God would bring a fire, and the fire consumed everything on that altar, water and all. Perhaps the stones would tell that story. Or maybe the stones would speak of King Solomon and his plan to build a temple to house the Lord God, a place to be a home, the holies of holies, the outer courts where God's very presence would dwell, where the people could come and worship and meet their God. Perhaps the stones would tell of a nation who got on board with Solomon's plan and put stone on top of heavy stone and built a magnificent edifice to worship the Lord God in. Or perhaps the stones would speak of the story that Jesus told, where a foolish man built his house upon the sand, the wise man built his house upon the stone, and when the weather came, and the weather always comes, it was the house on the stone that stayed secure. The stones have stories. And the stones beneath us and around us, what would they say? Perhaps they would tell the stories of this place's first inhabitants, the first peoples who lived here, hunted and fished and raised families. Perhaps they would talk about the traders who passed through here, the negotiations that happened on this land. Perhaps these stones, these bricks, this wood, would tell of the immigrant communities who came, immigrants who brought their faith, their work ethic, their can-do spirit. Perhaps the stones of this church would tell of the stones of the church at Annette, Rehoboth, Fellowship, all these places that came before to bring us to this moment. Perhaps The stones would tell us of the people who plotted and saved and joined in to build this place. The first ones who sang hymns within these walls. The stories of baptisms and weddings and funerals that happened just right here. Life that happened in the midst of this wood and glass and brick and stone. Maybe the stones would speak of faith that was nurtured here and then sent out to proclaim the hope for the world that we have in Jesus. Luke is very concerned that we understand this walk into Jerusalem has cosmic scope. It matters to the stones. It's connected to Jesus' birth. We can hear the ringing of the angel chorus on our ears. It is connected to the wideness of God's love. Jesus walks not just for Jewish people, but for all people, and Jesus walks for creation itself. For God created this world and called it good, and it is waiting with us for complete restoration. Even the stones would shout. Even the stones, if all else was quiet, the stones would speak because they cannot not speak. They would speak of the hope we have in Jesus, the plans that are in motion, not just the walk to Jerusalem, but all that will take place in Jerusalem. The cross that is looming in front of Jesus and everything that it means. The death that must take place and why. And the resurrection that is promised and why that resurrection puts into plan of action that will change the whole world. The stones know and they wait. The letter writer Paul said it this way in the book of Romans, "The earth groans as if in childbirth, waiting for restoration." Chapter 8, he continues, "Creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." Something is going on, something bigger than us, and the stones know it. A cosmic rescue plan has been enacted in Christ, and we wait in the middle. We wait for it to be completed. We live in this tension. We know that Easter is coming. We know that Easter happened 2,000 years ago, but we also know that things are not right yet. The already and not yet. We live in the middle. Creation groans in the middle. The stones cry out in the middle. You see, the fall of humankind was the fall of creation too. And we know that things are not the way they're supposed to be. Famine, disaster, flood, hurricane, ice storms, everything that stops people from flourishing in God's good creation, and things that stop creation from flourishing itself is just not the way it's supposed to be. War and violence, the perpetuation of violence on this creation. This is broken people making broken things. We all have fallen short of the glory of God, and we live in this tension. But we have hope in Jesus. Hope that first Easter was the beginning of something that will end with completion and perfection and consummation and restoration and reconciliation, all our favorite words in the church. Because it's coming. That's what we hope for. It's coming. And even the stones cry out. It's the beginning of Passion Week. And we, the Church Universal, across this entire creation, together walk this time of remembrance. We walk with Jesus, standing on top of the Mount of Olives, looking out over the city of Jerusalem. You can see the temple from here on the next hill. But first you have to walk down a steep hill and into the valley, following Jesus on a donkey. You can hear the disciples cheering. But Jesus has a look in his eye on this walk. He knows that the week ahead isn't going to be a celebration like a party or a conqueror's ball. This is a very different kind of walk, a walk only Jesus really understood. We look down at the cobblestones on the road and up at Jesus' eyes, and we follow him down and up to his death. And may we, with the stones, shout out to a desperate world the promise of salvation. Hosannas, the little children sang. Come, save us. Bring your plan into completion. May we call out with the stones. Hosanna in the highest, we'll sing in a bit. That ancient song we sing. For Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven and our King. Oh, may we ever praise him with heart and life and voice, and in his blissful presence eternally rejoice. And I wonder, if the stones cried out the first time Jesus came, can you imagine what it's going to sound like when he comes back? Just imagine the noise. Think of the mountains and the hills that will break forth in singing, the trees that will somehow clap their hands. Think of the animals and the stones calling out when perfection comes. We have a message of hope to tell the world, the hope of complete restoration. We have a message of a plan in action, a God who loved us so much that he sent his Son for us, a God who is putting all things back together for good, and he who has promised is faithful. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise you again that we can begin this walk this week as we walk down the Mount of Olives towards Good Friday and the cross and the celebration of Easter, the empty tomb, your resurrection. Dear God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts and minds again for this walk, that it wouldn't be formulaic and repetitive, but instead an opportunity where we feel your Spirit moving and us growing. Lord, fill us with your excitement, the excitement of the stones. Fill us with the joy of the season again. And fill us with your love and your hope so that we can go out from this place and proclaim to an everyday, ordinary world the promise of your faithfulness, the restoration that is coming through Christ Jesus. Inspire us again, Lord. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ, we pray that you would hear our prayers and graft in our minds the same mind that is in you, that we might be vessels of your humility and grace. Lord Jesus, you emptied yourself, trading in the form of God for the form of a man. We pray for the church and all its people and ministries. Form us into a church that empties itself for others and for you. Lord Jesus, you were born in human likeness and found in human form. And we pray for the whole human family, for the nations of the earth, and for all who live in the midst of disaster, famine, or terror. Lord Jesus, even after humbling yourself in your incarnation, you humbled yourself even to the point of death. We pray for our nations, our leaders, and all the people who live within these borders. Bless us with your humility. Lord Jesus, your humility and your love for us was so broad and deep, it cost you your life. And we pray for those we love who have died. And as you were highly exalted, may they rest with you in glory. In your exaltation, O Lord, you were given the name that is above every name. And we pray in your name for those who are poor, for those who are hurting in any way. In days when food banks are required in our land to feed families who struggle to provide for basic life, we ask that you will rearrange our priorities and help us to live more like Jesus. Lord, please give them your grace. We also pray in your name, O Lord, for those who are sick. And today we especially think of Alice Vanderkooy and Dirk and the challenge that lay ahead of them. Give them the gift of healing, strength, and life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our Lenten journey is nearing its conclusion. Bind us ever closer to you, Christ, so that we may turn our hearts and our minds to all that you experienced in the crucible of this Holy Week, a week both terrible and wonderful. You humbled yourself in the manger. You humbled yourself on the cross. And to you, O Lord, we bend our knees with those above and below. To the glory of God the Father. Amen.